You have your Bible. Go with me. Proverbs chapter 16 is where we're starting today. Proverbs chapter 16. The title of the sermon, Caution, Your Motive Could Be Your Problem. Look at somebody and help me with my title. Tell them, caution, your motive could be your problem. Look at one more person. Help me one more time. Tell somebody, caution, your motive could be your problem. All right, we're going to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to read the first two verses. We're after verse 2. We'll start at verse 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard here. Proverbs chapter 16. We're talking about motives tonight. Motives, motives, motives. You know, Jesus, he said that we will be judged for the motive of our heart. One day we'll all stand before him. Let me tell you, this is a sermon to... every sermon is a sermon to pay attention to. Let me tell you why you should pay attention to this one. Listen, the motives of our heart are the key to so many things with the Lord. And the Bible says he judges and he knows our motives. And our motives, if we're not careful, the wrong motive can keep us from receiving. And let me tell you this, the wrong motive will lead to the wrong thought. The wrong thoughts lead to the wrong action. You might be having a problem tonight that started with the motive. And oftentimes we all have to examine our motives. We have to make course corrections to our motive. And see, we can't see that in each other, but the Lord, he can see that in all of us. And as I say, one day we'll all stand before him. The scripture says we'll give an account. He's going to open up the books and reveal the motives of men's hearts. And so what we're saying tonight is more important than touring Facebook. It's more important than doing your grocery list right now. Caution, your motive could be your problem. Proverbs 16, verse 1 and 2. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Yeah, the Lord weighs the motives. And so he never told us to judge one another's motives, but he made it abundantly clear that one of the things that he looks at as he looks through the blood, through the cross, through the righteousness that he has given to us, he also examines our motives. And there are times, my brother and sister, in all of our lives when we have to take a look at our motives. Motives, it's an interesting word, motives. What does it mean? It is the hidden reason that we do something. Motive. It's the hidden reason. Why did we do that? Why did we say that? Why did we give that? There's a hidden, it doesn't have to be bad. It can be a good thing. The hidden reason might be a really good thing. And the Bible said the Lord will see what you did in private and then bless you in public. Yeah. But then there's an aspect of motives that can be completely wrong. And see, and then when the Lord, when our conscience, the Lord moves on us through our conscience, then listen, we ought to be sensitive to him and make a course correction if the motive isn't right. If the motive is right, then the action will be right. And if the motive is wrong, then the action's going to be wrong. And sometimes you can do the right thing with the right motive and be completely blessed. I said, just be completely blessed. Do the right thing with the right motive. But then sometimes you can do the right thing with the wrong motive and completely miss your blessing. Can't get no amen there. I said, our goal ought to be to do the right thing with the right motive. And then we won't miss the blessing. And so Proverbs 16:2 said, the Lord, he weighs. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. We're talking about motives tonight. Caution, your motive could be your problem. And we're headed over to the New Testament now. I'm reading New American Standard. I think I told you that. Matthew 22. And now reading verse 15 through 22. Jesus had so much to say about motives. He said a lot about motives. And so we're right here in Matthew 22. We're starting at verse 15. Jesus is having a tough conversation with the Pharisees and the Herodians. And they're asking him questions. But the real problem wasn't the question they were asking. It was the motive behind the question they were asking. And everybody who speaks to you, listen, just because somebody says something nice to you, they may not always have the right motive. Luke chapter 6, the Bible said this: beware when all men speak well of you. If everybody's just singing your praises, everybody just patting you on the back, the Bible said beware. Why? Because everybody's motive may not be sincere. I remember it was back around the year 2000. I was working at FedEx and a senior manager and running my two stations, and I was on a conference call, business conference call. And a couple days before that conference call, now in 2000, this was probably either 99 or early 2000. Maybe it was early 2000, late 99 or early 2000, because I was getting ready to buy a new car. And I was going to buy a Volvo. When I went to the Volvo dealer, they wanted $45,000 for their Volvo. And I said, no, thank you. So I said, I'm going to look for another car. That Volvo's gotten too expensive for me. And I started looking for another car. And so somewhere along the line, somebody told me about a Maxima. I'd heard something about a Maxima, and that seemed like the kind of right car for me. And I was just investigating. I'd never owned a Nissan product. And I was in the hallway of the FedEx building, casually talking to some employees. And they got to talking about cars. And I said, I'm getting ready to buy another car. They said, what are you going to get? I said, I don't know. I said, but the Nissan Maxima really interests me. I'm thinking about buying a Maxima. I'm thinking about buying that 2000 model Maxima. That's how I knew it was 99 or 2000. So anyway, so someone walking by us heard me say that, and the guy stopped and he said, Bill, you want to buy a Maxima? And I said, well, I don't know yet. I'm still investigating, but I think that's what I'm going to buy. And he said, he worked for FedEx. I had five managers reporting to me, and he worked for one of those managers. And so he said, I work part-time as a car salesman on the weekend. And he said, I work at a Nissan dealership. He said, we sell Maximas. And he said, matter of fact, I can get you $5,000 off the best deal. Whatever the best deal you can get here in Tulsa, I can get you $5,000 below the best deal you can get. And he said, I want to bless you, want to help you. And so I immediately said, thank you, but no thank you. And that kind of raised his eyebrows. And he said, he said, you don't believe me? He said, I'm telling you, I can get you $5,000. I can really save them. I said, no, I believe you. I said, and I'm grateful, but no thank you. He said, I don't understand that. And so he seemed really perturbed, hurt, if you will. He seemed hurt by it. And I just said, I don't combine business, my personal business, with my business career, my business life. I don't combine the two, and I don't want to. I'd rather just get my own deal. He said, you will pay $5,000 more for the car. I said, well, if I'm sure, you're probably right, but I'll gladly pay it, and I'm just going to pay whatever deal I get. I appreciate it, but no thank you. And he said, can I talk to you? He said, I said, sure. And he wouldn't leave me alone. I was hoping he would just leave me alone then. But he was really annoyed, hurt. And so I just called him on in my office, and he just continued on, how he didn't understand. Why wouldn't I try to save that money? Why would I want to spend $5,000 extra? It don't make sense. Why would you want to spend $5,000 extra dollars when he can help me? And he just kept on. And see, I was really hoping, just take what I'm telling you and just go on. But it just kept on. And so finally, I told him, all right, you asking me, now I'm going to tell you. And I said, I don't combine business and pleasure, because things go wrong. And I said, I know, God forbid, I know this will never happen. That's what I told him. This is that conversation. I said, God forbid, I know this will never happen. But you could be sitting before me 2 years from now and your manager fire you. And then you come to me for redress. And then while I'm trying to accurately assess if the manager fired you correctly, then you start saying to me, remember back 2 years ago, I got you a car. I got you $5,000 off that deal. I need your help now. And I said, I don't want to be. I don't want to, as a senior manager, I don't want to be in that position. He said, well, I'm a brother in the Lord. I would never do that. I said, I know you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. I said, it's just my personal policy. You can just get mad at me. Just my own personal policy. Just not going to do it. And he walked away shaking his head, and he was upset with me. But do you know, 2 years rolled around. I'm telling you, 2 years rolled around. I came back off a business trip, and he was knocking on the door of my office, and the managers had, his manager had to terminate him. And he's a good guy, good Christian guy. And he came to my office, and he was crying, and man, and he said, Brother Bill, I can't believe they fired me. And I said, I'm going to review everything thoroughly, and when I reviewed it, they should have fired him. I would have had to fire him. And I told him that. And he's crying, and I've met his wife, his kids, just sweet people, just a sweet family, just a sweet family. He's crying. I'm behind my desk, tears in my eyes. He said, you fired? Yeah, I still fired him. Somebody asked me one time, you know, just you feel, sometimes you sense just the pain, hurt people going through, you know. But when you're in a position of authority, you're tasked with doing a job. You have to do it fairly. You have to do it honestly and honorably, and you can't show favoritism. And sometimes people say, well, you're my Christian brother in the Lord. And I say, well, look, I'm your Christian brother in the Lord. That's why I try to get you not to do that. But I'll tell people in a second, but if you step over here, I can't save you over here. If you take actions that put you over here, I can't say, now if you'll stop right here, I can help you right here. But if you choose to go further, you're going to put yourself in a position where I can't get to you. And I'm not going to risk my career. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of times people don't understand that. People don't like that. People don't understand that. If y'all say amen faster, I could move on faster to the next point. I'm trying to get to a point here. Y'all dragging me through this thing. I had somebody at work one time. I was working at Thrifty Car Rental, managing the Worldwide Reservation Center. I had somebody one time. We had calls on hold, losing calls. Had somebody had their feet up in the air reading the Bible. I'm the supervisor. I'm on the phone. All the agents are on the phone. They said back then, if you would have somebody wait longer than 30 seconds, they call Hertz, they call somebody else. You make them wait more than 30 seconds, you make a customer wait online more than 30 seconds, they call somebody else. And so I'm looking, you know, I got like 40, 50 calls on hold. I'm on the phone. And I keep seeing this person's phone is on pause. I thought, well, maybe they're handling a problem, but I just take the next call. Maybe their phone's still on hold. Maybe they're handling a problem. I'll take the next call. We got to get these calls down. And finally, I put my phone on hold, went over there. They up there, feet in the air, reading the Bible. Got over there, you know what they said to me? Brother, brother. Don't give me no brother, brother stuff. They're pull the brother, brother card on you. Don't give me no brother, brother. We're trying to do a job. We're being paid to do a job. Don't give me no brother, brother. I can see I ain't going to get no amen going this direction. Can you give me a scripture with brother, brother in it? Okay, I'll go on. You said you was telling, would you go back? So anyway, I had to fire that guy. And he didn't like it, and it was sad. But I'll tell you this, he called me 2 months after his termination. And you know what he told me? He called me at home 2 months after I terminated him. And he said this, he said, Brother Bill, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, you had wisdom 2 years ago that I couldn't see. He said, I didn't understand why. He said, it baffled me why you wouldn't let me help you. He said, but you, even though I know you didn't know this was going to happen, he said, you had the wisdom to know that my motive might not be right. And he said, I felt led of the Lord to call you and just tell you, I would have used that against you. I would have told you all day long, I saved you $5,000 on your car. How could you fire me? I helped you. You should be helping me. He said, I can only tell you, I would have used it against you. And he said, I couldn't see what you could see back then, but I can see it today. And I told him, I said, bro, I know you're going to land on your feet. I know everything's going to be all right. I know the Lord's with you. And we prayed for one another and hung up the phone, and he was signing up for the police academy out in Sand Springs then. Motives are very, very important. Our motives are important. The Lord examines. Well, what did I tell you to go? Matthew 22? Before you all slowed me down. Matthew 22, verse 15. And then the Pharisees went and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, now listen to these glowing words. Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their malice and said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me a coin used for the poll tax. And they brought to him a denarius. And he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. And then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And hearing this, they were amazed. And leaving him, they went away. I wonder upstairs, you may not have this, and if you could you bring that same passage of scripture up in the New Living? In the New Living, I love it better. The new American Standard, of course, my favorite version, but I love it better. I love the way this passage reads in the New Living. We're in Matthew 22, verse 15 through 22. The New Living translation, and I'll tell you what it says, because they may not be able to get it, and I appreciate them checking for me. In the New Living, there we go. In the New Living, it says, then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet with him. And teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You're impartial and don't play favorites. Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now here's what I want to get to right here. But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites. The Bible says, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So that was verse 18, where New American Standard says, Jesus perceived their malice. But New Living is really, really breaks it down in a modern day vernacular for us. Jesus knowing their evil motives. He looked at that question, which seemed to be buttering him up. They were building him up. You're teaching the truth. You're teaching the word of God. They were building him up. But all the while, they had the wrong motive. He goes on later in this passage. He tells them when they start asking him a question, they had wrong motives again. They start asking him about a man who dies and he's got all these brothers. And then who's in the resurrection? Whose wife would his wife be? And Jesus said, you err. You don't know the scriptures or the power of God. The wrong motive will keep you from the truth of God's word. Right. Listen to me very carefully. The wrong motive will steer you from the things of God. There is power in the sincerity of a person's motivation. Amen. Are you listening to me? I remember, you know my story about now. I was raised Catholic, just a good Catholic boy. And then got born again, and then was just, my Baptist friends just helped me immeasurably, teaching me about the word, just love the Catholics, love the Baptists, helped me immeasurably. But there's one area they couldn't help me with, and it was the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. And this, they were sincere, they're just sincerely wrong. But this they shared, that's either not of God or of the devil. Maybe one or two people in the body of Christ have that. But they were confusing the gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12:28, with the New Testament experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which people pray in a prayer language. And it's not the spiritual gift of tongues. It's just the Bible prayer language that Jesus gives to every believer who will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking other tongues as initial evidence. And so, okay, what are you saying? So I had been taught that there was no valid secondary experience for the New Testament believer, even though John the Baptist talked about it. John said, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals, but after me, one's coming who's mightier than I. He said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Over in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you're going to be filled with the Spirit not many days from now. You're going to be baptized with the Spirit not many days from now. Of course, we know it was 10 days before the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2:4. But I didn't have that knowledge, that understanding. What I did have, listen to me, what I did have was a sincere heart. I sincerely wanted to know. With the corresponding commitment that if I found out, I would act upon it. You understand what I'm saying? Motivation. Sincerity of motivation. I didn't have the knowledge of God's word on the subject, but I had a sincere heart. God, if it's true, I'll follow it. If it's true, I'll obey you. And then, see, that led me to the Bible. That led me to study the word. Studied 6 months. I had to study 6 months before I got the understanding on that. 6 months. Because it's just been taught differently. But when I saw it in the word, oh man, I never forget, about 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night, earlier Saturday morning, about what I'd been studying, and oh man, I just knew the validity of the baptism. Could show you in scripture, could walk you through scripture. Had it like a bulldog. And see, Jesus said this, if any man wants to know whether my teaching is of God or not, John 17:7, he said, listen, if any man is first willing to do my will, then he'll know. God's not looking for just professional inquisitors. That's all right for people to be inquiring, you know, praise the Lord. But he's looking for somebody who will see the truth and then obey it when they see it. He's not looking for somebody who he reveals his truth to and then they say, well, I'm not going to do anything about that. I'm not going to follow that. Are you with me? What are you talking about? The sincerity of our motivation. It led me straight to the truth of God's word. When we are sincere about our motivation, then God can reveal the truth of his word. If we're just shopping around, but we're not going to do what he shows us, then really we're kind of wasting his time. But when a man, woman, boy, or child really wants to know, it's like about Jesus. When somebody really wants to know, is he for real? Is he real? He'll reveal himself to you. Oh, yes, he will. You show me somebody who's sincere, and I'll show you somebody God will reveal himself to. And that's how I came into the knowledge of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I came with just a sincere heart, a willingness to study and obey what God showed me. Sincerity of motivation. And Jesus called, he said, these people here, he said, they were hypocrites. So often people get distracted. And again, motivation, it's that hidden reason for doing something. Go with me to Acts. People get distracted. Well, you go to Mark 12. Go to Mark 12. I'll tell you what it says in Acts. We'll save time that way. If I go to Acts and you go to Mark 12, we'll save time. But while you're going to Mark 12, you're going to verse 38. And meanwhile, I'm going to stop over in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Listen to the motivation of the high priest and the Pharisees when they arrested the apostles. Just write it down, Acts 5:17. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. And they laid hands on the apostles, put them in a public jail. Jealousy was the motivation. And let me tell you, jealousy, envy can lead you straight over the cliff. Yes. And the Bible says we have to examine our heart. We have to examine our life. We have to examine our motivation. And when you see stay right where you are. I know where you are. You're in Mark 12. Look, in Acts 8:23, write that one down. It says Joseph's brothers, they were jealous of him. That led them to the intentions of murder, and they sold him into slavery. Jealousy was their motivation. The wrong motive led to the wrong thought. The wrong thought led to the wrong action. Over in Acts 13:45, Paul, on that first missionary journey, he's in Pisidian Antioch. On that first missionary journey, Acts 13:45 says the whole town came out. 44 says the whole town came out to hear the word of the Lord. 45 says, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. So they contradicted Paul, not because they sincerely disagreed with him. They contradicted him because they had a motivation of jealousy. Jealousy will lead us over the cliff. Jealousy says, what jealousy is, jealousy says, I don't want you, I'm afraid you are going to take something away that I have. That's jealousy. Many times when you see jealousy and envy, they're used interchangeably. They can be synonyms, jealousy and envy. But when you, if you decide to split those two words where they are different, is jealousy would say, I'm afraid you're going to take something that I have. And of course, envy says, you know, I don't want you to have what you have. Say, I'm envious. That means I don't want you to have that. I'm jealous. I'm afraid you're going to take something I have. Sometimes they're used interchangeably, but if you split them, I tell you, they just lead us over the wrong motivation. One of the worst motivations you can have, jealousy and envy. I know I'm running short on time. Where did I tell you to go? Mark 12? Let's cut to the chase. Skip down to 41. I told you to go to 38. Let's skip down to 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury, began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came in and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned and she had, and all that she had to live on. Jesus observed the way people gave and then looked at the motive in their heart. And watching people give, Jesus called his disciples to him. And what he did is he spoke to her motive. He said, the other people, they're just putting in out of their surplus. She's given everything. The motive of her heart is to give everything she has. There's 2 ways to live this life. Pleasing men and being a man pleaser, or pleasing God and being a God pleaser. And some people choose the former road to their own chagrin. But when you choose to please God, to have him as your source of all that you do, when you say, Lord, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I want to please you. Oh, look out. The windows of heaven are opening and the blessings being poured out. Go to John 12. Go to John 12. I'm rounding third, headed home. I'm going to have to slide home again. If y'all weren't so slow in these amens, I could just walk home. I got to run home every time and slide into home. In John chapter 12, at verse 1, Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And so they made him a supper, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. The Bible speaking to Judas's motive. Judas went wrong because he had the wrong motive. The wrong motive led him to the wrong thought, and the wrong thought led him to the wrong actions. You've got to correct that motive, because if you don't correct that motive, the whole target and trajectory of where you're going in Christ will be thrown off. If you start off with an incorrect motive on Monday, by the time you get to Friday, without correcting that motive, you'll be in the wrong place. Out of position. And so many move themselves out of position. The thing is, God, he will bless us all he can. I love that about our Father. He's in the blessing business. He'll help us all he can. He'll bless us all he can. But he's looking for one person who'll cooperate with him. He's looking for somebody who'll say, Lord, I don't care what people see. I don't care what people say. I only care what you see. I only care what you say. Oh, the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth so he can show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is completely his. I said, God's looking tonight. He's looking at our motive. Why did you do that? What was your motive? And see, if the motive is wrong, if the motive is jacked up, that's when you've got to say, you've got to humble yourself before the Lord and be honest. And when the Lord shines that spotlight and your conscience begins to convict you, then you've got to say, Lord, hey, let me correct that. My motive was wrong. Forgive me, Lord. I had the wrong motive. The wrong motive will get you out of love. The wrong motive will mess up your giving. I can't get no amen teaching like this. I said the wrong motive will mess up you. You might do a good deed with the wrong motive will mess it up. Will hinder you from receiving from the Lord. Man, our time goes so fast. God, let's go to one more scripture. I got so much more for you tonight. I came loaded for bear. I got so much more, but go to James chapter 4. We'll end here tonight. James chapter 4. James 4. Looking at verse 1. Going to read down 1 through 3. James 4 verses 1 through 3. We're talking about motives. Let's dive into our last scripture. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have. You commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. God's in the blessing business. He loves to bless his people. But the wrong motive will turn giving into greed. This time of year, people are buying gifts and giving gifts. And I don't know what's on your Christmas list. But I can tell you this. If you'll approach the holiday with the right motive, approach the holiday with the right motive in your heart, whatever you get, you'll just be so grateful. If somebody gets something that you wanted, you won't revert to jealousy or envy. You'll just say, I'm glad they're blessed. You know, some people, what they do is they say somebody gets something, they wanted that. And so they get jealous and envious. And then they say, I'm next in line. Oh, that's a long line. You're going to be a lot of long time. If that's your motivation, you understand what I'm saying? It's one thing when somebody says, I'm next in line, and the motive is right. See, when the heart is right, when there's sincerity in the motivation, oh, you next in line. Oh, yeah, your neighbor may have been blessed with something. You can say, hey, well, I'm just happy for him. But we have to all examine our hearts, because the day is coming when the Lord will open the books and expose the motives of men's hearts. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored tonight to share along this line that you laid upon our heart. And Father God, we thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit, because you are the one who not only inspired this message, but you're the one to confirm it in the hearts of everyone who listens, however they're listening. And so we thank you for speaking to the hearts of people. Thank you for revealing your word and your spirit unto people. And for some, the wrong motive has been keeping them from your blessing, from the outpouring of your blessing, from the showering, from the fullness of your blessing. Some have been wondering, why am I not receiving? Why am I not receiving? And yet the motive hadn't been right. And so I pray that you'll move upon people, that they'll make adjustments. Every head is bowed in this place. Every eye is closed. Let me see your hand. You say, I've got adjustments to make. I've got adjustments to make with my motive tonight. Let me see your hand. Yeah. Yeah, just honest hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Father, you see honest hands and honest hearts. And so we pray as adjustments. Yeah, yeah. The Lord's just saying, just make an adjustment. Just make an adjustment. If you'll just repent and just pledge yourself to do better, just ask the Lord to help you. Ask him to give you his strength. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just make a quick adjustment. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And so many right here in this place, many listening are being repositioned. Repositioned. Hallelujah. That they might receive the fullness of what you have for them. Blessing in a greater measure than they've known before. Hallelujah. And so thank you, Father, for being always so loving, always so kind, always so forgiving. Thank you. You throw our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. Thank you that the blood of Jesus has remitted our sins, has washed us, has cleansed us from the guilt and shame. Thank you, Father, for those making adjustments. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. You might be here and say, there's another adjustment that I need to make, and that is I need to get right with God. You might be here tonight saying, I through wrong motive and action, I've turned my back on the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm walking with the Lord, but I've been living my own way, going my own way. You're sensing something in your heart tonight. God's moving upon you. It's time to come home. Let me see your hand in here. Say, I want you to pray for me. I want to come back. Yep, I see your hand. Thank you. You say, God's dealing with you. God's talking to you. You see, he loves you so much, but he's trying to get you to cooperate with him. And see, if you just get up and turn around and walk out, you're not cooperating with, you're resisting him. What you sense tonight, that's the Holy Spirit moving on you. It's the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hand in here. You say, I'm not living right. I want you to pray for me. I'm going to make it right tonight. I'm going to make it right tonight. I'm going to make it right tonight. You may be here. Maybe you've never made that commitment to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you. Let me see your hand in here. You've never given your life to Jesus, but you want to make it right tonight. You want to make it right tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask you tonight to take a bold step, because I know God's going to take a bold step in helping you. God's going to take a bold step in ministering to you. You had your hand up for any of the things that I just mentioned. You want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or you want to give your heart back to the Lord. You haven't been living right, but you want to give your heart back to the Lord. I'm going to ask you just to stand up on your feet. The Lord sees you. He loves you. Oh, he's going to bless you. Just stand right up on your feet. That's right. Just stand right up on your feet. I'm going to ask you just to come right down here. Just come right down here and meet me. It's a long walk down here, but you'll be so glad you did. God's going to take every step with you. He'll take every step with you. He will bless you immeasurably. You will mark this day. You will mark this day and say, on that day, I got right with God. On that day, he changed my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Glory to God. God bless you. Somebody else. God's dealing with you. God's talking to you. You can resist him if you want to. You resist him here tonight, and then you go home and ask him for his help. And he said, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. You're resisting me. That's right. Come on. Let him help you tonight. Let him help you. Let him be the strength of your life. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. These brothers, I know they're not the only one. God is moving on you. God's moving on you. This ain't no preacher. This is God. You know the Lord. Something's moving in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. Don't resist him. He wants to help you. God loves you so much. He wants to bless you. Let him help you. Let him help you. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. Come on. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. If you let him help you, God bless you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. That's right. Let him help you. Let him help you. Let him help you. Don't resist him. The Bible said, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. When he moves on you, move. You move. He's moving on you. You move. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There's still somebody here. Hallelujah. Come on and let the Lord help you. Come on. Come on. The Lord's trying to help you. He's trying to get something to you. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. Come on now. Come on and let him help you. If you'll come, he'll bless you. Oh, man, God's going to bless you. Oh, man, God's going to help you if you let him help you. If you let him. If he can get you to cooperate with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said he's a good God. He's a good God. Let him help you today. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I just want you to lift one hand to the Lord. You've come to the altar, but not to a man. You've come to the King of Kings. And by lifting that hand, you're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to any man. I'm coming to you. I'm just looking to you. Stand up in the congregation. Lift your hand. Release your faith toward these. Oh, I want you. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. I want you to say this prayer out loud. We're all going to say it out loud. Just want you to say this prayer out loud. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to take me in. I haven't done everything that I knew to do. I did some things I should not have done. I've been making my own decisions, going my own way. But tonight I come with a humble heart and I give you my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to take complete control. I accept your offer of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. He was raised for my justification. And tonight, I pledge my heart to him. And I will live for you. And I will serve you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just stay right there. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, let's praise him for a moment. Oh, something exciting just happened here. I tell you, angels are dancing in heaven right now. Angels are rejoicing in heaven. Come on, let's bless him and thank him in here. Hallelujah. God is moving, saving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for touching this brother. Thank you for touching my sisters in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Touch every single one of them. Thank you for healing, for strengthening. Thank you for providing. Thank you for opening doors. Thank you for pouring out your favor on them. Thank you for helping them, Father God. Thank you for meeting needs, for opening doors, for turning it around for them. Oh, Father, you've seen their honesty. You've seen their humility. Now, Father God, turn it around for them. Oh, in the name of Jesus, financially, turn it around. Spiritually, turn it around. Emotionally, turn it around for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for it. Thank you. Come on, let's praise them in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know your name, but God knows your name. And let me tell you something. What you have done tonight has been recorded in God's book. And he is going to pour his blessing out on you in a way that everybody can see it. He is going to shower you with blessings and help, encouragement, strength, answers to prayer, and everybody around you will see it. They'll say, oh, they're blessed. Oh, they're blessed. And you'll point to tonight and say, I had an encounter with Jesus at the altar. It wasn't a man. It was Jesus. We have free materials for you. We have prayer ministers who are ready to pray with you and answer any question. And this is Reverend Paul. I want you to go with him. He's not going to keep you very long. He's going to give you free materials, answer any question. Make sure you got everything you want. You go with him, he'll bring you right back to your seat. Go with our brother Paul. He's an anointed minister of God. Go with him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we can do better than that. Oh, no. I don't care what football team you root for. But last night when Broken Arrow was shaking and baking, or tonight when the Cowboys or the Redskins or whoever your team was, somebody came down and they had that ball and they shaking and baking and you were cheering. Come on, we can do better for that. Our brothers and sisters just got right with hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said there's joy in heaven over just one person who repents. There's joy all over heaven. Glory be to God. Well, my friends, we thank you so much for being here tonight. It's always a joy to minister and to minister to you. And remember, keep Pastor Mrs. Hagen in your prayers this week. They have such a busy schedule. Keep Pastor Craig in your schedule. He's out ministering and overseas, and keep him in your prayers. And let's pray he has a safe trip home for all those ministering. And Pastor Marvin, Pastor Tad, let's pray that God continue to use them and bring them home safely. It's been just a joy, the greatest joy of my life, ministering the Word of God. The greatest congregation to minister to is right here at Raymond. So we thank God for you. It's your first time. There are several of you. It was your first time here tonight. Wave your hand real big, and we're going to do what we said. We're going to give you a good gift. Okay, there's Vicky right there. The others, our connection team members are moving to you. And so let's thank these again. If you'll go with them, just go with them. They're not going to keep you long. They have a gift for you. And they want to give you that gift on behalf of our pastors, Pastor Mrs. Hagan, and our entire church family. Give them one more applause. Aren't you glad they came? First time. Praise God. And so if all hearts and minds are clear, then remember, caution, your motive might be your problem. If God calls you to examine your motives this week or this season, then do it quick. Get it right. Make the adjustment. Why? He's trying to bless you. He's trying to get something to you, not take something from you. And you'll be blessed as you go. All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, Father, thank you now. Protect us all as we go until we see one another again. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.